The following program brought to you by Comprehensive Financial Consultants and CFCI, which is solely responsible for its content. Securities are offered through J.W. Cole Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advice offered through CFCI and J.W. Cole Advisors. J.W. Cole Financial, J.W. Cole Advisors, and CFCI are unaffiliated entities. The opinions expressed by the members of CFCI and their guests should not be construed as specific investment, legal, or tax advice. All economic and performance information is historical and not indicative of future results. Investing may involve the risk of loss of principal, and any tax advice on the show is not intended to be used by any persons for the purpose of avoiding U.S. federal or state tax. Penalties that may be imposed on such persons and each listener should seek advice from their tax advisor or legal counsel on topics that arise from the show. The representatives of CFCI and their guests are not providing legal or tax advice, and nothing should be construed as a solicitation to offer or buy securities. Now enjoy the show.
Welcome to Your Money from David Hayes. And I am Wayne Thacker, sitting in for David this week. And I've got a special guest in studio, Doug Hughes, who you will hear quite a bit from today. But we're going to start with news and views. As of Monday of this week, the S&P 500 is up 12.8% since President Trump declared a national emergency on March 13th. We are borrowing trillions, everyone. Our national debt has increased by $2.62 million through this crisis. And we are officially dropped into a recession, Doug. This is the first time since 1980 that we have been in a recession. That has happened about a little over 100 days ago. Mm. The help wanted signs are starting to go down. We've gone from 7 million job openings down to just over 5 million, so down just about 2 million. And Doug, we are actually in a deflation period right now, according to the numbers. The consumer price index fell 0.1%. Pandemic deaths are 37% of the deaths so far, Doug, have occurred at nursing homes around the
37%
around the United States. And a little fun fact, fans were missing this week, but the top three golfers were paired for the first two rounds of the PGA golf tournament that was in Fort Worth, Texas last week. And it was an interesting tournament. It was a good one. And that is by the numbers from Mick Higley released. And that is everything we've got as of Monday of this week. Guys, we're going to have a great show for you. We're going to come back. We're going to talk this week about the real math of retirement. We're going to be throwing a lot of percentages and numbers at you, and we're going to try to make those easy to digest with the ear. We know we don't have any visual in front of you right now, but we've got a lot of stuff to cover, Doug. It's going to be a great show, and I'm looking forward to it.
It's going to be a great time to talk about just some realities, numeric realities. People are so addicted to how the markets are doing and what's going on up or down, or what did they see on the TV about the Dow yesterday. We're trying to help people separate their retirement plan from just what's happening in the market every day. It's hard to do that, but we're going to cover the numbers and make sense of all this for our people.
That's right. We'll be right back. This is Your Money, David Hayes. All right. Welcome back. This is Your Money with David Hayes. I'm Wayne Thacker, sitting in studio today with Doug Hughes, recording a great show, Doug. The real math of retirement. We're going to start out by talking about the 10% savings rule of thumb. Where did this come from? What does the math actually say? So, Doug, I'm going to start out by really we want to paint a picture to the ears of the listeners because we don't have the visuals to show them, but we're going to try to talk them through this. So, Doug, if you're a person out there earning an income and you save nothing, and you don't have Social Security, a pension, inheritances, any of those things, technically, you could never retire. You will not be able to afford yourself even the minimal living expenses. And we're talking about a normal person here, guys. We're assuming you're not going to go live in the woods in a tent.
And this is why, and you've heard this a little bit from the government, and a lot of employers now are doing automatic enrollments for some of these people who otherwise wouldn't. You know, maybe not a lot of our listeners are in this position, but people otherwise wouldn't begin saving. That's why you've been hearing more and more about automatic savings and automatic enrollments.
Automatic savings and enrollments are huge. That gets people to that savings starting line.
Yes.
So, Doug, where did the 10% rule come from? I'm going to kind of walk a listener through the math here. And, guys, I'll probably use an income number today, but this really goes, it doesn't matter if your income's $20,000 or $150,000. Mm-hmm. We're going to use some basic numbers here. Doug, let's just assume a person starts out their career making $50,000 a year, and they get a 2% inflation increase each year. Let's just say that's the average. Basically, that person's income is going to double over a 40-year career. So that's going to take, you know, the 22-year-old up to 62, 65, somewhere in that range, right? Guys, if you save 10% of your income right from the get-go, and we're going to put an earnings rate on your 401k or 403b of about 5% compounded, it will actually take you 45 years to accumulate enough money in your 401k where you could take a distribution that was equal to your income at the time of your retirement.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where the 10% rule kind of has some merit. That's if you save 10% of your income, you're okay working 45 years, and you're going to save that 10% the entire time. It's going to take you about 45 years to meet 100% of your income needs at the time of retirement, which in this case, in our example, is going to be your mid-60s.
Absolutely, Wayne. And, you know, the reality is we've talked about this a lot on the program, that retirement has really been put on our shoulders. And that's why it's so important to learn about these rates. Your savings rate is probably when you're, well, it's always there while you're working, but your savings rate is one of the most important data points that you are going to make a decision around. Most people, unfortunately, design a lifestyle, and then they see what they can save. What we recommend to people, because our theme is better savers, better spenders, better stewards. When you are going to be a saver, you need to begin your savings process first and then design a lifestyle around that. Most people, however, have a lifestyle, and then they save what's left. And that's why even 10% becomes challenging for some people. But truthfully, when you think about it, 10% should be about a starting point, a minimum.
There's a book out there. I have not read this book. I kind of got a summary version of the book, Doug. It's called Profit First. And what this book entails is basically you pay yourself the profit that you want. So let's say you want your savings rate to be 25%.
Mm-hmm.
Then what you do every time you get paid, you make sure that you have 25% going into your profit bucket or retirement bucket. And then you base your spending on the other, what's left over. And that is a great way for all you newbies out there. Maybe you're getting ready to take on your first job or your first real job or a higher income job. This is really how you need to approach this, a profit first mentality, and then your life and your living expenses off the balance of it. Wouldn't you agree with that, Doug?
Absolutely. And, you know, Wayne, one of the other sayings that we often say to people is that retirement is life's most expensive purchase. When we think about our most expensive purchases, we typically think of a house, college education, and a car. But the truth is, to properly fund retirement, you have to save a lot of money for a, as you mentioned, a long, long, long time to be able to fund your retirement.
There is.
So retirement is actually life's most expensive purchase. Now, I will tell you one thing, too. I am, this is for people who aren't beginning, but they're kind of in the middle stretch. So I am, it's hard for you to believe this, I'm sure, by looking at me, but I'm 47 years old. If I got paid 26 times a year, every other week, right? Two paychecks. If I got paid 26 times a year and my retirement age is 67, that means I have 520 paychecks to get the house paid off, to get the kids through school, any debt reduction you have, and to save for this retirement that's looming out there. I have 520 times to do that. That's why your savings rate is so important. And you can stretch that and go, you know, if you have 30 years or 40 years, whatever it is. But if you get paid twice a month or 26 paychecks a year, That is how long you have, how many paychecks you have to do that. There's a lot to think about with that. And again, our motto is better savers, better spenders, better stewards. Getting that savings rate is so important. And don't put a savings rate together based on a really high return. You know, a lot of people think, oh, well, if my funds have averaged 12% for all these years, maybe I just need to save 5.
I'm using a 5% return in our examples today. I don't think any of the listeners are going to be upset if they start saving more money, expect 5%, but maybe get 7 or 8%.
Right.
They're going to be fantastic. That's just going to give you choices. That's actually one of the things we're going to talk about. So, Doug, 10% takes you about 45 years to meet your income goal.
Mm-hmm.
If you just bump that up to 25% right from the get-go, and the only thing you're relying on is your income, and you want a full income replacement at retirement, you've got to work and save 25% of your income for about 39 years.
Wow.
Now, Doug, we know there are other pieces to this. We do have a Social Security system. We mm-hmm. do have some other things that we want to let the listeners know they can do to reduce those years, because the years are the one thing you can't create more of. You can't, you can't create time. That's our limited resource. So we're going to actually share some tips and tactics today to try to reduce that time for those that want to reduce that time. And we're going to show how you could get that 39 years or that 45 years down. We're going to start that right on the next segment.
We'll be right back.
This is Your Money with David Hayes.
Welcome back to Your Money with David Hayes. This is Doug Hughes live in studio. Wayne is the captain of the ship today, Wayne Thacker. He has put the outline together and the subject matter. I am here just for my face for radio. Right, Wayne?
That's right.
Actually, we want to give a call out here to one of our sponsors, Kenny Bland Auctions, brought to you by Kenny Bland Auctions. Is David Your Money with David Hayes. It's your full-service auction service offering pre-planning the sale of your estate or real estate. Visit them online at KennyBlandAuctions.com. Wayne, you wanted to talk about the real math and the numerics to retirement, so tell us, what's next on the agenda here? We talked a little bit about savings. What's next?
Yeah, well, you talked about shout-outs, Doug. I'm just going to give a shout-out to one of our office assistants, Shelly Puckett.
Yes.
Happy birthday, Shelly.
Yes, happy birthday, Shelly.
All right, Doug. So 25% savings rate over a course of a career takes you about 39 years to accumulate enough money, conservatively, mm-hmm. to replace all of your income. You could retire, have that same income for the rest of your life, and run off into the sunset.
But so, Wayne, let me just throw this out here, because I know this is where you're going next. What about the person who says, I'm having a hard enough time saving 10%. What are some ways that I could increase this to 25%?
Well, that's a great idea. So that's really when you get started, you want to start out with that profit first mentality. So all the newbies out there, that's definitely where you want to go. So if you're not a newbie, but you've got some newbies, if you're an empty nester, a new empty nester, be sure that you're explaining these things to mm-hmm. your kids and friends' kids and things like that. Be a good mentor, as David always talks about on the show. Doug, so let's say that you are not saving 25%. Well, and we see this a lot. We're out and about in the public. A lot of people are not saving 25% of their income. So one of the tips and tactics we want to talk about is stair-stepping. That's a big thing. You talked about automatic enrollment.
Mm-hmm.
There are companies out there doing automatic stair-stepping. So this is, let's say you are only putting away 10% and the thought of working 45 years scares you to death. Well, now what you want to do is maybe increase that savings rate by 1%, 2% mm-hmm. per year. So these are minimal changes. You can make some adjustments, do some belt tightening, and eventually maybe over the course of the next 20 years, 25 years, whatever, you might be able to get that savings rate up to 35%, even 40%, Doug. And we're going to talk, we haven't talked about debt yet. That's coming up in a later segment, but we're going to talk about some other ways to really reduce those years. So as of now, we've only talked about savings only. What's the percentage? How much do you have to save? 25%, it's going to take you 39 years. That's just what the math says. What if you're one of those people that say, hey, we have a Social Security system. I believe in it. It's going to be there for me. And so what I'm doing here is I'm just saying that Social Security is going to replace 25% of your income.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a person that's counting on that Social Security, the math says that you could save 25% of your income, have Social Security be 25% of your income in retirement, and it's going to take you about 31 years, Doug. So now we've reduced the amount of years you have to work from 39 to 31 to meet your full income objective. And so Social Security does play a big part into your planning process and what you're doing to really plan for retirement income that's going to keep your lifestyle the same. You know, we've seen a lot of articles over the years that say, you know, a person only needs 70% of their income in retirement. And I've not met anyone in my career that says I want to live on less money than I've been accustomed to for the last 45 years. That just seems a little unrealistic to me. So, all right. So saving 25%, Social Security is replacing 25% of your income in retirement. We've got your time down to 31 years that you have to work. Doug, let's talk about debts. All right. So we know that most people out there buy homes and cars and they put kids through college. And let's just say that your overall debt expenses are 25% of your income. Well, if you can get your expenses paid off, your debts paid off, and that was 25% of your income, and you have Social Security at 25% of your income, and you're saving 25% of your money, you've just got your working career down to 19 years.
Wow. Yeah.
It's incredible the more you save. And this is why it's so important for especially that new person that does have 20 years or more of work left. The more you save, the quicker that you're going to be able to have an option to relieve yourself from the workforce if that's what you choose to do. And we know not everyone chooses that. We're not saying that that's your stopping point or that you need to, but it does give you the option, and that flexibility is huge for a lot of people, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. And, you know, again, we've listened to different people talk about living debt-free lives and getting out of those debts. But it is true, the more money that you have committed to other things besides wealth accumulation and retirement planning, the harder it is it's going to be and the longer it's going to take, and the more stress you have to take on your portfolio to hopefully, you know, pull you through some of those decisions that you've made to strap on debt and hold on to it. As Warren Buffett says, you cannot go through life charging up credit cards and expect to be successful. And that is where we see the largest debt payments going because the interest rates are so high. But those aren't the largest monthly payments. Sometimes it's the home. And so, you know, we always caution people, think about what a house really costs, not just your monthly payment, but the roof, the landscaping, the repairs. You know, there's just an awful lot that goes into this. And again, every dollar that you're siphoning out for those things is money that's not being used to create wealth. And that's where people need to do a really good evaluation of where they're at in their overall debts.
You're so right about that, Doug. And cars, those are a biggie.
Yeah.
You know, if you've just purchased a car, if you're thinking about purchasing a car, the best thing you can do is start making that car payment right now to your own savings account. Just go to your bank, open an account, and put whatever you think a car payment that you can afford is in that account. Build it up until you have enough money to walk in and buy the car that you want to buy.
Exactly.
Or at least
right.
put a really significant amount of money down on that vehicle. Tires, Doug, we've talked about everything here from roofs to air conditions to tires.
These are emergencies. And I always say to people, when you have a house payment, it's not just your mortgage payment. You need to have another account to prepare for some of those house things.
Yeah, yeah. You're exactly right about that. So, Doug, I'm looking at the spreadsheet here, kind of doing the real math of retirement. If you're a person that's saving 10%, again, it takes you about 40 years. If that's all you save is 10%, and if you're counting on your savings, Social Security, and a debt reduction payoff to meet your full income, it takes you about 40 years. So again, that 10% rule of thumb comes into play for those of you that know that you're going to work a full, you know, 35, 40, 45 year career.
Yeah.
That's where this 10% rule comes into play. But the power of that is just by increasing just that savings rate from 10 to 25, again, Doug, that takes your working career down to 19 years to meet that income objective of being able to retire mm-hmm. with your full, I guess, cash flow in place for retirement income. So that's big. I am going to go ahead and just play around with this here. If you save 50% of your income and had no debts, so you weren't not using that 25% for debt reduction, had qualified for Social Security. So this is that person that maybe mm-hmm. is mid-career that is just now going to start saving. Obviously, 10% is not going to get it done. We're going to have to save more money. So a 50% savings rate's going to kick those numbers way down to under 10, actually.
Absolutely,
so
yeah.
Especially if you've got the debt reduction going with it and Social Security. So, Doug, what are some ways that people can do to increase their income or their probability of a successful retirement? And I'm defining success today. This isn't necessarily the overall meaning of success, but I'm defining success on our mission today as full income replacement in retirement. So if you're making $75,000 a year at retirement, after taxes, your take-home pay might be around $45,000. Mm-hmm. I'm saying that your retirement take-home pay is going to still be $45,000. So it's an apples-to-apples comparison. So some things you can do to really increase that guaranteed income for life. We've talked about it on the show a lot. Waiting to take Social Security.
Mm-hmm.
We know that you can take Social Security as early as 62. And if you've been a great saver out there and Social Security is only a little piece of your retirement, again, we're talking about adding flexibility by being able to exit the workplace sooner than maybe someone else,
Absolutely.
Your neighbor, your friend. So if you're not one of those people that have had a good savings rate, if you've only saved the 10%, if you've only saved, you know, less than 10%, if you don't have a pension, then maybe going ahead and staying in the workforce or at least figuring out a way to wait to take Social Security. And Doug, you can wait all the way up to age 70 to claim your own.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be a way to significantly increase your guaranteed retirement income when you reach that point.
Absolutely. And Wayne, just a real quick reminder for everyone on Social Security. We get these questions a lot, but we'll just throw them out because they're very simple. We get them a lot. When someone has Social Security, does their spouse get half?
Well, those rules have changed. So mm-hmm. yes, if you've got a spouse that maybe has not been in the workplace, or if your spouse's Social Security is not at least half of the other spouse, then yes, you qualify still. That spousal benefit does exist.
And are there ages or how does that work?
Yeah, that one's going to
listeners.
That one's going to be birth dates are going to matter. Mm-hmm. So it all the claiming strategies, that's definitely something that's going to be part of the financial planning process. Yeah. And so if you've got some of those questions out there, we're going to encourage everyone to reach out to our office at CFCI.us.
And that's why I'm saying that, because, you know, that's one thing we're talking about, replacing income and how do you do that in a protected way. There's still a lot of people and there's a lot of confusion about Social Security. We get these questions a lot. And as you mentioned, plans change, strategies change. But once you start Social Security, you're pretty well locked in. So that's one you need to do your homework and make the best decision at that point.
You got to get it right. And with all of this, Doug, you're locked in. If you've saved mm-hmm. 10% of your income for 30 years, it's going to be pretty tough to go back and get a redo. We've lost those 30 years of compounding interest.
Right.
And we've talked about that on the show many times. But really getting that savings rate at least started. Number one, like you said, Doug, when we opened the show. Number two, getting it to that profit first. Let's get that thing to be as high as it can be right from the get-go.
Mm-hmm.
Build your lifestyle around that savings first. And then if you're not there yet, let's talk about ways where you can stair-step it. Let's talk about ways that you can maybe wait to take Social Security and increase that age. Let's talk about ways to eliminate debt. Doug, you and I have done shows on the debt snowball, the debt avalanches. There are things you can do, and rather quickly, Doug. Now, I know we're in a society where we want something, we want it right now,
mm-hmm.
right? If I wanted to lose 50 pounds, if it's not gone by next week, I've gone back to my old habits. Some of this stuff does take a little time, But we're talking about a little time, Doug. We've right. seen significant debt loads evaporate in a matter of less than a dozen mm-hmm. years. That's huge. A huge accumulation evaporated in, let's say, 8 to 10 years. That's a big step towards a great retirement.
Absolutely.
So,
Wayne, we need to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to pick this conversation right back up, and we're going to go through some more of the real math of retirement. Welcome back to Your Money with David Hayes, brought to you by Attorney Lance Like at the Like Law Group. Give yourself and your family the peace of mind that comes with proper estate planning. Call Lance Like and the Like Law Group at 812-323-8300. Quick shout out to Like Law Group and those attorneys out there who do estate planning. We've seen a lot of things in the 22 years that I've been in this industry, and there is nothing quite like having your estate plan done, put together, and well prepared. It is a great comfort, and I just recommend as a point of action that everyone take a review of your portfolio as it relates to your estate plan and make some good decisions from there. Wayne, let's jump right back into this. Let's talk about this real math of retirement.
All right. So we're talking about savings rate, debt reduction, counting on Social Security. You know, there are other factors at hand here. So we've always been told that during your work, by the time you get to retirement, you're going to be in a lower tax bracket. Mm-hmm. We know this may not always be the case. As of right now, for a lot of people retiring today, this actually is the case, Doug. A lot of people have been in the 15, 20, and sometimes even higher tax bracket over the course of the last 35, 40 years. And today we know that taxes are at an all-time low. Our listeners have heard David on the show pounding the table about potentially Roth conversions, tax advantage accounts, really making sure that we're taking advantage of these low tax rates today. Even if you are someone that's out there, you're still working, you're still putting money away. Mm-hmm. So we want to talk to the listeners about some tax strategies they could get done now that really solidify maybe a lower tax bracket or a lower tax rate in retirement that then help reduce these years that you have to work.
Absolutely.
Even more.
Well, and you know, there's one of the other issues about taxable accounts, and we can talk about raising taxes, lowering taxes, and if we do, what are they going to raise first? Corporate taxes, then capital gains, and then us. And there, you know, there's any number of ways to imagine a higher tax rate. But one thing that has nothing to do with whether the government is raising your taxes or not is the fact that you have to pay tax on all distributions unless you make a charitable contribution. You have to pay taxes on any amount of money that comes out of a 401k that's rolled to an IRA. So what? No matter what the government does, if you say to me, Doug, I've got $1 million and I need $50,000 a year, the average person might think, oh, that's just 5% of $1 million. But truthfully, in a retirement account, you probably need 7% to give you 5%. And the reason I bring this up, we're in a volatile market. And so a 5% withdrawal rate becomes a 6 or 7% withdrawal rate just to deal with taxes. No matter what happens with the government and no matter where tax rates go, that other expense really does eat into your overall retirement plan.
It's basically just important to know that tax planning is huge. It's huge right from the get-go. It can make a world of difference, because whether you have $1 million saved in tax-free accounts or $1.2 million in tax-deferred accounts, which one's more? Well, it may actually be the one with less money but has no tax partner, Doug. So that it's worth looking at. It's worth planning for. We're going to talk about how you can get a plan here before we close the show out. But, Doug, there are other factors here. So we're talking about time in the workforce. How soon can you retire and meet your financial goals at 100% level, not a 60 or 70% level? So we're talking about kind of the math of retirement, savings rate, Social Security. But let's talk about some other factors that are involved. You know, as we work, Doug, you said you're 47 years old. Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you.
But, you know, you still have a teenager at home. Mm-hmm. you still have some expenses associated with that, and you're going to have some expenses. We've got college around the corner, and Daniel's probably going to have a car here soon, and we've got, don't let me get you started on the extra insurance cost for that car.
Right.
So you've got some expenses coming up, but hopefully, you know, knock on wood, you're not going to have all of those expenses associated with raising a teenager at some point in your life. So, you know, even though your income, you're using your income now to raise that child, that is something that goes away for a lot of people at some point in time.
Yeah.
I know we've got some listeners out there just giggling at us right now saying, yeah, right.
Well, but, you know, typically you get into the most expensive time of life in your mid to late 40s into your early to mid 50s. And you also get to the place where you're typically at your peak income earning years in your mid 50s. And so there's kind of a divergence there. And so a lot of people, what they've accumulated in that decade between the mid 40s and the mid 50s, they spend, you know, the mid 50s kind of paying it all down till they get to 60, and then they get really serious. But Wayne, the thing to keep in mind is that at 50, at the age of 50, you're allowed to increase your contributions to much larger levels. And so everyone listening, if you're 50 years or older, if you're late 40s, you're ready to turn 50, you need to be paying attention to what you can put away as far as contributions to IRAs, 401ks, all of those things.
And Doug, you bring up a good point here. This is something I don't think a lot of people know or really focus on. We talk a lot about contribution limits, and this is through employer plans, this is through outside plans, but technically, you can put away 100% of your income into something.
Into something.
There is something that exists out there. So really, if you are one of those people, we have a lot of those people we work with that are putting away the maximum in the employer plan, the maximum in outside tax deferred or Roth accounts. There are still other places you can put money. So don't worry about that. The financial services industry has found plenty of spots for you to be able to park your money.
You could even put it in a jar outside under your pillow.
We have people that have done that as well. So Doug, some other things that people can do to really reduce those years in the workforce, and we hear this a lot. You and I have talked about it quite a bit. Downsizing at retirement. Now, what we think, you and I, this is not anything we've proven, but we think that people don't actually downsize. They do downsize, but they don't down cost.
That's right. Yes.
So that's what you and I have determined. We have not done any scientific research around this.
And a lot of it comes from when people retire, they think, you know, I've always wanted to have granite countertops, or I've always, you know, I've wanted to have this and that. That's kind of, you know, so they don't necessarily downsize, but they don't down cost.
That's
right. And as the price of houses continue to go up, you're downsizing, but that same house that is smaller might actually cost more than you looked at it 10 years ago. So.
That's funny, Doug. Well, so we know people are at least downsizing some, but not down costing. But there are some expenses that do go down in retirement. You're not maybe going out to lunch every day. You're maybe not driving to work every day, so your fuel expenses go down. Maybe you've been a really safe driver. Your auto insurance is less. Your homeowner's insurance is potentially less. So there are a lot of ways to cut expenses in retirement. We've done full shows on those that we can point the listeners to. So there are things that people can do to really, again, we're talking about reducing the years in the workforce. If these are some things, if you're starting to near that time where you're thinking about retirement, but you don't know how you're going to make it, we're just really trying to open your eyes to some of the things that we've seen a lot of people do and actually have success at. So we don't want to bring anything that we've seen fail over and over.
Yeah. And you know, one thing too, that people can look at is like insurance policies, whether it's life insurance or long-term care. You know, you can adjust your payments on those to be 10 pays, for example, and just say, hey, I'm 50 years old today. I know it's going to cost more money, but if I can pay it and be done by 60, or if I can do it at 55, be done by 65, that's when I retire. All those premiums can be done. That's another way to reduce your overall expenses in retirement.
That is, you're right about that. And so we've talked about taxes. And really, we just want to talk about unconventional things here, maybe some conventional things. You know, Dave Ramsey may have it right when he talks about getting the debt paid off. Well, you and I, we 100% agree on this. For most people, getting the debt paid off is maybe one of the definitely one of the top three most important things that our listeners need to be thinking about out there. The difference between retiring with a significant debt load and no debt load is huge. The flexibility it creates is a lot. And so definitely be thinking about those things. Doug, we're going to kind of transition. There are a lot of moving parts here. This is a fine oiled machine. There's probably not one thing that we've talked about, whether it's Social Security, pension maximization, cutting cost, savings rates. There's not really one thing here that someone should focus on. It really is the whole. And we are doing that now through the use of very sophisticated, smart financial planning tools. And we want the listeners to know that these things exist out there now. They're much more robust than a simple calculator that you can go out on Nest Egg and look at. These are going to allow the user to run what-if simulators. What if I increased my savings rate by 1% every year, every other year? What if my child does move out of the house finally or find a job and I can now stop? I can take that extra $500 or $1,000 a month and put it in my investment account. What if I paid off the house versus putting an extra 3% into my 401k? What if I live too long? Doug, we haven't even talked about that on this show. How do I prepare for that? But the financial planning software can really dive into all the mechanics and find out where the holes are, if any, and really lead our listener down a path of very, very solid planning in not just one or two categories, but really every category. I know you're using this a little bit now. It's fairly new to our office, so we're really just wrapping our hands around how robust this is. What are you seeing with some of your clients?
Well, I think when people think of financial plans and financial planning, it is a simulator. It is, you put in your numbers and it helps you determine, you know, your Social Security. A lot of it, though, just throws into Monte Carlo scenarios that run all these modules on how your income. I think the thing that it does for a lot of people is it just shows them what they're not thinking about, because we're just so addicted to good returns and everything going fine that when we get there and it's a little bit different story, it just allows people to see a little more of the possibilities, I would say that. The other thing it does is it allows people to look around at the investment world and say, okay, what if everything I've been told isn't right? What if everything I've heard in the media isn't right? What if, you know, the 60-40 blend is right? What if it's not right? What if the withdrawal rate is 3%, not 4%? What if it allows people to look through those different types of things? And I think that is that's the basis of the plan, is to at least eliminate some of the outcomes you don't want and move you closer to the outcomes that you do want.
Right.
And that's, I think, what the plan really does.
Well, you're exactly right. And like you said, it uncovers things that maybe the listeners aren't even looking at. Sometimes when people walk into us, there's things that they're not even telling us. So we're not even thinking about those things. You know, so often you get through a 30 to 45 minute conversation and then it's, oh yeah, and my son still lives at home and I've got to take care of him for the rest of his life. So there are things there that really the financial planning software can uncover. So Doug, we're going to come back. What if retirement's not a stopping point for somebody? What are some things you can do in retirement?
Oh, okay. All right.
We'll be right back. This is Your Money with David Hayes.
Welcome back to Your Money with David Hayes. Doug Hughes live in studio. Wayne is leading the show today, talking about the real math of retirement. Wayne, tell me about this. There was always this joke people would say, I don't want to have to be standing at the door at Walmart when I retire. However, we have seen a really positive impact of people who have picked up part-time jobs in retirement.
You know, let's say whether you have or have not saved enough for retirement, working in retirement may be one of those things you need to do for your own sanity, for income, for whatever the reason, Doug. You know, my own father-in-law Both my father-in-laws have been driving for Uber for quite some time now. One father-in-law for many years. The other one just started this past year. They both love it. It's a good extra income in retirement. They're still out and about. They're sharing experiences with different people. They're able to communicate, still have kind of that network of social interaction that people need. You know, let's say you are an empty nester, Doug. You have the house, you have extra rooms, you have a basement, whatever. Maybe you can Airbnb your home, rent out a room. There is this whole gig economy out there of things that people can do. Maybe you can teach somebody a language. Maybe you can take pictures. There are so many things that you can do in retirement, Doug, that would provide an extra income and still keep you going if that's what you desire to do. So we just wanted to share that as part of the show today. Doug, we're going to come right back. We're going to talk about what David's doing, and we're going to talk a little bit about the show next week, which we don't know much about it, but we're going to take There will be one. We're going to take some guesses. We'll be right back. This is Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back. It's Your Money with David Hayes. I'm Wayne Thacker with Doug Hughes today. It's been a lot of fun. Doug, why don't you tell the listeners what David's doing?
Well, I will leave the details to David. All I can say is this. Last year, he did some amazing fishing north of the border in Canada, south of the border, way down south, into South America. And I think, Wayne, when he comes back next week, he's going to have a story about a little bit of a unique fishing opportunity that he has had.
Well, that guy, he loves fishing.
Yes, Doug. Absolutely, and yes.
Doug, you and I, we're about to be gone fishing as well. It's been a fun show.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us. If you've listened in this long, this is Your Money with David Hayes.
The preceding program was brought to you by Comprehensive Financial Consultants and CFCI, which is solely responsible for its content. Securities are offered through J.W. Cole Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advice offered through CFCI and J.W. Cole Advisors. J.W. Cole Financial, J.W. Cole Advisors, and CFCI are unaffiliated entities.